بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لو كان فيهما آلهة إلا الله لفسدتا فسبحان الله رب العرش عما يصفون لا يسأل عما يفعل وهم يسألون. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. As we were talking about Tawheed, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we talked about a general concept of the oneness of Allah, that normally when a person would think of one God would come to our mind that there is only one Allah that is supposed to be worshipped, who created everything, who did everything. But there is more than this that we need to know about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before I continue, let me just quickly go over one point to keep it very clear in our minds, and that is sometime when we talk about beliefs, we may say that you have to believe in it, whether you understand it or not. Remember, this may give some indication that there is belief, the Islamic beliefs are such that they are not understandable. And then regardless of if you understand it or not, you have to just follow it and you have to say it and you have to believe in it. This is not the case. Islamic beliefs are such, and this is the uniqueness of our deen, and of course the truth that comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we call it, this is deenul fitrah, the deen that applies to real human nature. This deen and the beliefs that we have, these beliefs are such that they are understandable. They are understandable. But as we were talking about it, I don't know how many were here yesterday from the beginning, as we talked about it yesterday, that our brain has its own limitations. All of our senses, they have limitations. So our brain will take us to certain level and then it will stop with some information to us that you need to continue, you cannot stop. But where should I go now? Brain tells us this is your direction and keep on finding out more. So our senses will give up. Our understanding will give up at that time, that it won't just continue by itself. But the brain is requiring that there should be something more than this. Very simple example, that when we talk about the existence of Allah, human nature, we talked about it in detail yesterday, or in somewhat detail we should say, that human nature tells us, and everyone's sense tells the person, his understanding and our brain is guiding us to the same direction, that there is Allah, there is a creator, there is someone who created all of these things and who's running the whole system. This is something that our brain tells us, so it guides us to this line. It's not that our brain says, oh, I don't know if there is or there isn't, I don't know if there should be or there is no need for it. That's not the case. The brain tells us there should be, he has to be there. If someone were rejected, a person who really uses the senses, has the right use of senses, will be able to say, no, there has to be some creator. So our brain guides us to that line and then tells us that he is there. And now, find out from him everything that you need to know about him. I'm limited to that extent. So our brain have guided us to this point and told us you need to go further. Now, of course, every human mind will tell him, for example, if someone told us that there is a very great tower in this town. So now is a long tower. So I have some picture of it, and everyone that comes to this town will be looking for that tower. As far as now, the color of it, how does it look like, what feeling you would have once you climb the tower, all of those things are something that you will have to find out once you get over there. So my brain told me, the information that I got, it tells me that there is a tower. Now, my brain is telling me the tower has to be tall, it has to be long, and that's all I find out about it. As far as what color should be of this tower, is there a specific color that all towers should be of that color? And if that is not the color of this tower, then this is not a tower? There isn't anything like this. So I have to go and find out from there. What will be my feeling once I climb? What can I see once I climb this tower? My brain is telling me once you climb higher, you will be able to see a lot. But what does that a lot mean? Can you explain that to me? No. You go and climb there and you'll find out yourself. So the brain is telling me is guiding me to that extent that there will be something once you climb over there. And you will find out something more. Same thing over here. That our brain is guiding us to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As far as the attributes of Allah, this is something that the brain cannot just get it by itself. But remember, still, it won't give up. It's only that it cannot grasp the information by itself. But once the information is related to us, it's not understandable. It's not that something is not ununderstandable, I should say. It's not ununderstandable, so that we can keep it very clear. That it is very understandable that when we look at the attributes and the things that we learn about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then brain starts confirming, oh yes, this is true. It has to be this way. It has to be this way. And he has to be this. So it is all understandable and it is all acceptable, but it's only that the brain, because of its own limitations, cannot get all of that information by itself. So then we need some external source of information, which is wahi. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us that this is who I am. As far as am I there or not, that is something we already believed in it. I'll tell you something very interesting. Quran talks about it, but normally we don't get it when we sometimes don't experience these things. Only last week, we were at a gathering where we had a dialogue. And a Jew was asked a question, the Jewish rabbi who was representing Judaism, he was asked a question that if you people believe in the miracles of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and then you claim that he was a prophet because of those miracles and whatever else he showed, so what stops you from following Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, whereas he has also performed miracles? And I was really surprised to hear that, because he said exactly something that is already in Quran. He said, miracles mean nothing to us. He said, we don't care about miracles. We don't even care about what the Prophet says. Our thing is, we believe in Moses as a prophet because he took our people on the Mount Sinai. And our people heard God speaking. This is why we believe that he was a prophet. وَإِذْ قُلْتُمْ يَا مُوسَى لَنْ نُؤْمِنَ لَكَ حَتَّى نَرَى اللَّهَ جَهْرَةً فَأَخَذَتْكُمُ الصَّاعِقَةُ وَأَنْتُمْ تَنْظُرُونَ ثُمَّ بَعَثْنَاكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَوْتِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. Remember when you said, oh Musa, we won't believe in you until we see Allah with our own eyes. So now, it's not trusting Musa alayhi salam, it's trusting our eyes. فَأَخَذَتْكُمُ الصَّاعِقَةُ وَأَنْتُمْ تَنْظُرُونَ. And finally, what happened was the 70 people that were chosen according to our a hadith that the 70 people that were chosen, they went on the mountain with Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and they heard Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and still they rejected. And then they said, no, we won't believe until we see Musa alayhi salam, we see Allah with our own eyes, wal a'yazu billah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused them to die, and then Musa alayhi salam prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they got up again. They went back and informed their people that yes, we heard something. And so on the basis of that, they're saying, we believe that Musa alayhi salam, yes, he was a prophet because we heard Allah speaking. So we can see now that it's not because of that. It's not because of miracles or because anything else that has proven the prophet, the truthfulness of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, is we ourselves have heard Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we're talking about the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He informed us who He is. So as far as His existence to us, the existence of Allah is not doubted by any human being who has good senses and good understanding regardless of his faith. He has to believe that there is a creator. But now, as far as the attributes of Allah, our mind, this is the point I'm trying to explain, our mind will guide us to that. That there are, the now, if there is a God, there is a creator, so He has to have some attributes. But what are His attributes? I won't understand that. I won't be able to get that knowledge by myself. So I need the help of the wahi, of the revelation, to guide me. And once we get that information from the wahi, it's very understandable. It's very logical. It makes a lot of sense. It makes every sense in the world. So the reason I pointed out this, to keep that point very clear, that sometimes we hear this word from our own, we say the word sometimes, oh, this is our belief, you have to believe in it regardless, you understand it or not. And then we find some other group of people will come and tell us, oh, there were three and three became one, and okay, can you explain to me? And he will tell you, no, that's a belief, you have to believe in it, whether you understand it or not, you have to believe in it. So now, what's the difference between the two? It's a belief, you have to believe in it, whether you understand it or not, and here is a belief that you have to believe in it. No, this is a belief that is understandable. There is a belief that even after explanation you can never understand it. It's a difference. So we have to keep that in mind. Anyway, going now to the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is three types, or in three things we have to accept the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this includes everything about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These three types of tawheed will include everything that we need to know and that we need to believe in regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One is called tawheed al-uluhiyah. Tawheed al-uluhiyah means that in worship there is no partner to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we will only be worshipping Allah and worshipping nothing else. So if a person will have an idol, will have something else that this person will pray to, will be making dua to, this person will be bowing down for, then all of this will be against this tawheed of uluhiyah. Tawheed in uluhiyah simply refers to all kind of ibadah and worship. فَدْعُ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. Worship Allah, devoting your ibadah, your deen, only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not associating any partners to Allah in the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to say, قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Say, my salah, my sacrifice, my life and death. So now, without going into the details of counting every other ibadah, mentioning some of the important ibadahs, salah and my sacrifice, and then مَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي. Not only these two, my life and death, which means everything. لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. It's only for Allah, who is the Lord of the universe. In the previous madhahib, we know that in the previous adhyan, bowing down for people as a respect was allowed. Just like we find in the story of Sayyidina Yaqub alayhi salatu wassalam, Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam, that Yaqub alayhi salam, his sons, they went and they bowed down before Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam. But this deen, as it came at the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to keep everything very pure. Remember the previous religions, previous adiyan, whenever they came for a certain period, a very short period of the time. And at the same time, they came for certain portions of the world. They were not universal. So therefore, these type of things were easily understandable. Okay, you do the sujood, everyone, for example, this is the only community for which this deen came. The Prophet is amongst them. And this is the Prophet who will be just teaching everyone. It's not that the Prophet has to travel from country to country, or followers of this deen will be in many different countries. No. All of them are living together. Prophet is always with them. One Prophet dies, the next one comes. So, doing sujood as a respect for others was allowed in that situation, because the Prophet will always keep that record very clear that, remember, this is only as a respect. But now, as this universal deen came, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept everything very clear in this deen, and things that could create doubts, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden it. Things that were that have misled people in the past, in the previous adiyan, even those things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden them in this deen, so that this deen will always remain universal, and it will be for all times, for all people, and there won't be room for having these type of doubts in shirk and in the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So even bowing down for others as a respect is also forbidden in this deen, for this reason that tawheed and ibadah should remain only for Allah, and people may start misusing that sujood of respect or that bowing down for respect, and will take it towards bowing down for ibadah and for worshipping others. So as far as the authenticity of all of this ibadah and how it remains pure, clean, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept everything very straightforward and very clear about it, about in this deen, about those regards. So tawheed in uluhiyya, that there should be no mixing whatsoever in the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibadah has to be only for Allah. The second is tawheed al-rububiyyah. Now most of the people, when they talk about tawheed, this is the only tawheed they are familiar with, which is tawheed al-uluhiyyah, that we worship only Allah. But the other two parts of the tawheed is something that many times we don't pay attention to it, and many times we don't even talk about. Tawheed al-rububiyyah, which is part of our tawheed also. What does tawheed al-rububiyyah means? We worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but after that, when we looked at things around us, oh, this tree providing so much fruit, the reason this tree has all of this fruit is because that farmer, he uses very good fertilizers, and then he's providing some special water to it, and this, because of this water, this tree is growing. Okay? In normal sense, when we talk about it, it's acceptable. It's acceptable. But would that end at that point, that because of that this tree is growing? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala points out this point very clearly in Surah Al-Waqi'ah, where he asks us some question. أَفَرَأَيْتُمْ مَا تُمْنُونَ أَأَنْتُمْ تَخْلُقُونَهُ أَمْ نَحْنُ الْخَالِقُونَ. Look at the drop of semen that you eject. Are you creating a human out of that, or we are creating it? See, now we may understand that question of rububiyyah. That a person is looking, we got a child, we have a child, it was because of that reason. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking us, أَأَنْتُمْ تَخْلُقُونَهُ أَمْ نَحْنُ الْخَالِقُونَ. Did you create the child? Did you create a human being out of that drop? أَفَرَأَيْتُمْ مَا تَحْرُثُونَ أَأَنْتُمْ تَزْرَعُونَهُ أَمْ نَحْنُ الزَّارِعُونَ. Look at the land that you cultivate. Do you bring the growth out of that land, or we are growing things there? أَفَرَأَيْتُمْ مَا تَشْرَبُونَ أَفَرَأَيْتُمُ الْمَاءَ الَّذِي تَشْرَبُونَ أَأَنْتُمْ أَنْزَلْتُمُوهُ مِنَ الْمُزْنِ أَمْ نَحْنُ الْمُنْزِلُونَ Look at the water that you drink. Are you bringing it down from the clouds, or we are sending it down? Tawheed in Rububiyyah. We worshipped Allah. After worshipping Allah, Ya Allah, I have fulfilled my responsibility. That was my duty to you, and I have done a good service to you. I have performed extra rak'ahs also and recited some more Quran. So today I should be considered a good servant. And now I'm going to someone else who is going to provide me with my sustenance. Someone else who is really taking care of me. Someone else, I will be going to a doctor. And because of going to the doctor, I will be cured. Remember, there is two different things there. One is asbab. Use of the asbab is there. It is required by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you use the means in this world. But always keep your faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that these means are not the providers. Don't have a short sight where you would just stop at these asbab, where you would just stop at that seed, that the tree came because of the seed, that the child came because of that drop, that we are having all of this water because of the cloud. It's not that. Go beyond this. A kafir will always stop at that point. That's the end. In fact, the very amazing part is, there are many people who really made some major mistakes in their life regarding Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, and they lost their faith. They lost their Iman. How did this happen? Many of these scientists, when you talk to them about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, some of them, they even come with the idea that, oh, initially I was looking at it that God is doing everything. But when I studied, I found out, really it was because of this fertilizer. It was because of that water. It was because of these chemicals getting together and the effect of these two chemicals. Very short-sighted person that when he saw the effect and Allah showed him something that others were not able to see, he got so happy with that findings that he thought these are everything. In fact, this should have been a better way for him to recognize the greatness of Allah, that look, it's not only that a fruit is growing on the tree, there is so much behind it that is working in effect, and we can't even see it, and see how there is someone who's putting all of these things at work for us, who put all of this effect in these chemicals. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, therefore now we can understand the story of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam when he was put into fire. And he's sitting in that fire, and he comes out and he says, those 40 days that I spent in the fire were the best days of my life. Now we see the rububiyyah there, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the doer of everything, the caretaker of everything, the one who maintains everything. As yesterday I was giving the example that the company that made this watch, they made the watch, they sold it, now they have nothing to do about the running of this watch. The watch may stop at any time or will keep on running. If it runs, it's not because that company has any connection with it and they are keeping it running. They have nothing to do with it whatsoever. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's relationship with this world is not like that, that he created everything and then he got out on the side that, okay, you people deal with everything now. It is not that. Whatever is taking place and anything that is having any effect, the one who's doing all of this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The doer of everything is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Behind all of these things, the main one who's doing everything is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a mu'min will always look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he is the doer of everything. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who runs all the affairs of this world. Whatever is happening in this world, anything that happens, anything that takes place, it is because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is doing it and who is making it happen. If he would not want this to happen, it won't happen. If he would stop it now, it will stop right now. In spite of all of these effects, every effect is there. But we used all of those chemicals. The results are not coming up. Who stopped it? Rabbul Alameen subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's the Rabb. So Tawheed in Rububiyyah, that Allah is the one who is the doer of everything. In fact, this Tawheed al-Rububiyyah is the real Tawheed that will lead us towards the Tawakkul, towards depending on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That who's making everything happen in this world? Who's the nourisher? And who's the maintainer? Who's the one who's taking care of everything? It's only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, in that sense, whenever a person finds a situation that is difficult for him or her, right away the person will be turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That he's the doer of everything. And he can bring amazing results out of things. This is what Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in always looked at. Always they looked at the results being in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whenever they were asked about something that normally the world felt that it's impossible, Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in always said, what is impossible? There is nothing impossible. Because the doer is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we were the doers, then yes, there are a lot of things that are impossible in our life. In fact, now, when we find some people, they look at the miracles of Anbiya alayhi wassalatu wassalam. Miracles of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam especially. And they say, impossible. How could this happen? How could this happen? They forget that the doer, when we say a miracle, it doesn't mean the Prophet did it. The doer behind these things is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's making it happen on the hand of this Prophet of Allah, so people will recognize him as a Prophet of Allah and as a Messenger of Allah. The doer is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even Anbiya alayhim as-salatu wa-salam are not the doers. Let me give you a simple example from Quran. Of course, Sayyidina Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam was washing his face every day. Do we have any proof for that? Someone say, no, he may not be. Of course, Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam are clean people. But anyway, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, once he performed the wudu, and washing each part of his body three times, and then he said, هَذَا وُضُوءِ وَوُضُوءِ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ قَبْلِهِ. This is my wudu and the wudu of the Anbiya before me. So they were making wudu. He's washing his face every day. He lost his eyesight. He washes his face. He doesn't get the eyesight back. His son sends him his shirt. They put the shirt on his face. He gets the eyesight back. Now, was the shirt of his son more important, or the hand of a Prophet of Allah is more important? He's a father after all. And he's a prophet. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not make that eyesight come back with the hands of the father, but he's making the eyesight come back through the shirt of the son. To tell ourselves, and this is a very important point for us to understand, that even these Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam, when they have miracles, they are not the doers. They are informed by Allah, this thing will have this effect at this time. So Allah puts the effect in those things. They don't put that effect. They are not the creator of that effect. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does everything. And then they just follow the instructions given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. So I was saying, when these people, they look, some of the scientists and other people, they look at these things and they find out some details. Oh, these stars, they function in this way, and they are this far, and their sizes are this. So when they find out a few things about it, they get so happy about it, that they say, oh, now we know that these stars, oh, they were made out of this, and it's not Allah wa la'ayyazu billah who created these. Subhanallah, it should even lead people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even more, that you see even more signs of someone much greater than up to this day. We just thought it was just a shining star, which means some light. So still we thought, oh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created it. But now we realize this light is such that it's so far away from the world. And it's so huge, has so much heat in it. If it will get closer to the world, it may burn the whole world. Someone has positioned that in that very specific point, that if it will just not stay there, it will move further up, or it will come down, further down, it's going to ruin a lot of things around it. Subhanallah. ذَلِكَ تَقْدِيرُ الْعَزِيزِ الْعَلِيمِ. So, Tawheed in Rububiyyah. Very important portion of our Tawheed, which we need to realize, understand it, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Rabb, the nourisher, the sustainer, the caretaker. So whatever, and the relationship between the human beings and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of a Rabb is everlasting relation. This is always remembered. This is everlasting relation. From the time our ruh was created, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is maintaining that ruh, then ruh comes into body, so he is maintaining that body in the womb of the mother, when no one can do anything for us. Rabb subhanahu wa ta'ala is nourishing the child. Now the child is born, the nourisher providing some very special system for the nourishing of this child, which we all need to know, that mother has no means of providing that milk before that, but all of a sudden it comes. Who did it? Rabbul Alameen subhanahu wa ta'ala. We see the rububiyyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as I was mentioning yesterday, that this is one of the things that scholars have pointed out, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not create this universe just in 1 second, kun fayakun. He just did not just create it like that. To show us that he is the Rabb. So he creates it, he nourishes it, he lets us grow, and as it keeps on growing, and this is the Rabb who's taking care of everything. As I was saying, that if a tree, we will just plant the seed, and next moment it will be a tree with fruit on it, then Allah will be the Khaliq of it. He created all of this, but he won't be the Rabb of it, the nourisher of it, the caretaker of it. The people who made this watch, they may be the Sana. Sun' means to make something, fabricators of it, but they are not the Rabb of it. They are not the Rabb of it. They don't have no connection with it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Rabb of everything. So that is everlasting relation between human beings and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even after we go into our graves, that relationship will not stop. When people are sleeping, the relationship that does not stop. Rabb is doing the rububiyyah. Subhanallah, we are sleeping. Do we know how many people are working there? And they may think they are working for themselves, but Rabbul Alameen subhanahu wa ta'ala have put them at work. They are working for our bread. In the morning, you go out, you go to the store, we pay some dollars, and we buy some bread. Imagine how many people have worked on it. How many people have worked on this piece of bread from the time it was a seed and up to this point until it got ready, and now we just paid a few dollars and got the bread, and I think it was because of these dollars. The water, the fresh water that we are getting, subhanallah. How many people have worked behind it? No one created it. But from the time it came out of its original sources up to the time that it comes to my home, how many people have worked on it? And if we start paying all of those people for the work they have done on the water, we will never be able to afford the water. Rabb putting so many people at work, and we are getting the benefit out of that. That is the rububiyyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you start going into those details now, you subhanallah, you'll see so many things. You just keep on getting into the depth and the depth of it, that how things are functioning, how things are being put in use, how things are getting into their places. So that is the rububiyyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number three, tawheed in al-asma wa sifat, in the names and the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That all the names and the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are such that no one else shares those things with the exact same qualities. Allah hears, and we hear, but these are only common words that we use. nothing else in common more than the word that we use to understand that Allah hears. Otherwise, there is no match and no connection between our hearing and the hearing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are so many things that we, when we talk about Allah, we use words that are used for us really. But really those are the only words because we are very limited. Languages are limited. Understanding is limited. So we have to use our words just to understand the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why Imam Ghazali rahimahullah have said a beautiful thing. He said, Ma'rifa of Allah is, knowing Allah is, that you go through every piece of information that is available to you in the world about knowing Allah, and at the end you realize that you have not known Him, that is knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the end we realize He's beyond anything that we can understand, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Take this very simple example of hearing. For us, when we use the word hearing, simply right away ear comes to the mind. So there is ear made out of flesh. And it needs to be maintained. It needs to be nourished. If proper food is not provided, the hearing will start getting down. If there is a lot of noise, a high voice, then the hearing will give up. With a lot of pressure around, pressure change in the pressure in the atmosphere, the hearing will be affected. The weather will affect the hearing. If so many people are speaking at the same time, we won't be able to hear all of them. This is all we know about hearing. So when we use the common word of hearing for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, it's totally unique. It's different. It's not this hearing. Does he need that piece of flesh? Wal-ayyazu billah, then he will be in need. And Allahu Samad is independent. He doesn't need anything. He doesn't need no one, nothing. We need that air that will transfer the voice from that person to us. He doesn't need that air. So, we will be just using the common words as far as his attributes, they are such that are beyond our imagination. Which means, at one level, our imagination will give up. You can hear. How much can you hear? And Rabbul Alameen subhanahu wa ta'ala hears everything and anything, whatever, any noise in the world, in the universe, He hears all of them at the same time. And one of the prayers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, O you who is not prevented from one hearing because of other hearing. That when there is one sound or there are a couple of sounds, these sounds will not prevent you from hearing the rest of the sounds. Which is our case. So, attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is Tawheed in al-Asma' wa-Sifat. Realizing the attributes of Allah are unique, although we may use some common words for between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we hear and He hears. But it's only the word that is common and the attributes of Allah are totally unique. So, Tawheed in the Asma and in the Sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ilm of Allah, the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We say this person is alim. But of course, what's the comparison between the ilm of the people that are in dunya and the ilm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? None whatsoever. No comparison. One of my teachers used to give a beautiful example. He used to give us the example of a pen, telling us that, look, this pen has many components in it. It has a metal, it has plastic, it has ink in it, which is a mixture of some water and some other chemicals. So he says, forget about all the other components that are used in the pen. Let's just take one, and that is the water that is in this pen that was used for mixing the ink. So there was little water, some portion of the water, maybe even a drop or less than that. There is some component of water there. He says, take that water. What is our knowledge about this water? Now, Allah's knowledge about this water, even this is only to our limited understanding, and it goes much beyond this. When did this water come to this earth? How much more water came with it? Where did this water come? Where is the rest of the water that came with it at this time? Who picked up this water? How did it go to that company? In which pans this water was used, this ink was used? I mean, any detail, every detail, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge, everything is within the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنْ عَلْمِهِ إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءَ. And we cannot get any knowledge, any understanding of the knowledge of Allah except only as much as He will give us the understanding of it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's asma, all of His attributes are very unique. And of course there is no time to go into any details of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But one very quick point here about the attributes of Allah. There are two types of attributes. One are called asma'ul dhat. And the others are called asma'ul sifat. Asma'ul dhat are the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are always there with Him. Always are functioning. And the opposite of that is not possible at all at any time. For example, Allah is hay, He's alive. The opposite of that is impossible for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He can never be dead, walayyazu billah. Ilm. The opposite of it, of ilm is jahl. So these are asma'ul dhat, that they are always there. He's a sami'. So He's always the hearer. It's not at any time that walayyazu billah we say He cannot hear, He couldn't hear. He's al-basir. He sees everything. There isn't any time we say the eyes were closed and He didn't see. He's al-qadir. There isn't any time that we say that He was not able to do it. His qudra is always there. These are called asma'ul dhat. The others are called asma'ul sifat. Asma'ul sifat means His attributes. For example, He's al-Khaliq. The time that He's creating something, He's al-Khaliq. At the time He's not creating, at that moment He's not doing any khalq. Although He is a khaliq, when you look at the other times, it's not that He cannot create, but khaliq means a person who's creating. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-afu, the forgiving one. At the time when He's forgiving, He's al-afu. But at the other time, He may be al-muntaqim, punisher. And He's punishing people. He's not forgiving this person, He's punishing him. So, these are the asma'ul sifat. Which means, whichever is in place, that is the one that is functioning at that time. Or it could be all of them at the same time. But, sorry, for example, now when people, the people of Jannah will go to Jannah, people of Jahannam have gone to Jannah, and all the people that were supposed to come out of Jahannam, and they went into Jannah, that's it. Ya Ahl al-Jannah, khuludun bila maut, wa ya Ahl al-Nar, khuludun bila maut. O people of Jannah, remain there forever, there is no death. O people of Jahannam, remain there forever, no death. After that, there is no afu, no more forgiving, that's it. That's gone. The time of afu is gone. There is no other creature that is in the world. It's not that He created another universe. That is gone. So, attributes of Allah that are called asma'ul sifat. That these are attributes that they will be in function at the time when those things are going on. But asma'ul zat, they cannot be the opposite of it. For example, asma'ul sifat, the opposite of it is possible. For example, He's al-mu'izz, the one who gives honor to people. But the opposite of it is mudhil. He's a mudhil also at the same time. He can dishonor people. He's al-muhyi, the one who gives life. The opposite of it is possible, that He's al-mumit. He causes people to die. This is the difference between asma'ul dhat and asma'ul sifat. Talking about the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and about tawheed of al-asma' wa sifat, we need to remember this is a portion of the Tawheed where most of the time those people who consider themselves Muwahideen, they believe in the oneness of Allah, they fail in Tawheed al-Asma' wa-Sifat. They fail in this. Other religions, all the other religions, regardless, they all fail in Tawheed al-Asma' wa-Sifat. They all fell into this. Many of them, they will fail at Tawheed al-Uluhiyya. They will have other idols to worship, other objects to worship. Some of them who halt at Tawheed al-Uluhiyya, they come down and they fail in Tawheed al-Rububiyya. That they have other things, they're looking at other things in the world, that because of this, this is happening in their sight, is doesn't go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He's the real doer of everything. And even if a person will come to that level, most of them then, rest of them will fail in Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat. Because remember, al-Asma wa Sifat, they can be learned only through Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam. And when the teachings of Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam are gone or changed, then we won't know the Asma and the Sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You won't know my name unless I tell you my name. This is my name. So, this is, Asma means names. So until Allah will tell us, these are my names, then only we'll find out what His names are. Until Allah will tell us, these are my attributes, then we'll find out what His attributes are. Otherwise we won't know. And that is only through Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. So rest of the nations, whoever claims to be muwahideen and they hold to the oneness of Allah, they fail in Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat. Let me give you some examples of it. For us, we say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nothing is hidden from Him. He knows everything. He's Aleem, He's Sami'a, He's Basir. We pick up the Bible, and not the New Testament, the Old Testament. The reason I'm mentioning that, because many times when we talk to Yahud, they're considered to be Muwahideen. Okay, Nasara, they have that other concept of Trinity, but Yahud, they are Muwahideen. Now, in the Bible it says, when Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was put into Jannah, and he was told not to eat from that forbidden tree, and he ate from it, what happens next? This is what the Bible says. God went into the paradise. So Adam, when he heard the footsteps of God, him and Eve, they hid behind a tree. So God started looking for them and he can't find them. So he calls, Adam, Adam, where are you? So Adam comes out from behind the tree with some leaves on his body. So God says, oh, this means you ate from that forbidden fruit. So up to this point, God didn't know this. See the Tawheed? Now in the Asma' al-Sifat, that attribute of Allah is gone, of knowing everything, of having the ilm of everything. All of that is gone. Jacob was traveling, and on his way a man stopped him, and from morning to evening, Jacob was fighting the man. At the end of the day, Jacob asked him, who are you? And to his surprise, he finds out this was the Lord. So the whole day he was fighting Lord. He didn't know that. And Lord comes down and he's wrestling Jacob. See, this is of the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The reason I'm explaining this is not to look down on anyone or anything. The thing is to understand our importance of this Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat, and then at the same time the importance of us knowing it and teaching it, that these are the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there are so many examples of it. I mean, the whole book is full of those examples. When it talks about Lord, it's all full of that example, that limits the Lord will ayyazu billah. Now we see the differences of languages. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ خَلْقُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافُ أَلْسِنَتِكُمْ وَأَلْوَانِكُمْ. It's of His signs that He created the heaven and the earth, and you have different colors and languages. It's the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this is not true according to that book. What does it say? God created people. Those people didn't believe in God, so they started building a tower. This is in the Bible, the existing one I'm talking about. We are not just bringing references from the ones that are already gone. So people started building a tower with the purpose of climbing the tower and seeing the God. Because their prophet told them God was up there. So they started making the tower. And as they are getting closer and closer to the heaven, God got worried. So he thought of something. Now what should I do? If these guys are going to continue building this tower, they'll get up to me. I need to do something about it. So he says to himself, I'm going to divide them into many languages, so then they will start fighting each other because of the languages. So they won't consider continuing building the tower. So this is why he put them into many, he gave them those different languages. So it was, the languages came as a wrath, from God, as a ghadab, as the anger of God on these people, and he cursed them through those languages so that they will speak different languages, so they will be divided and they won't be able to continue building the tower. See the difference? The reason I'm mentioning these examples, we realize Tawheed al-Asma wa sifat, the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where Allah doesn't feel sorry after doing something. It's not that he did something he didn't know and then he felt sorry about it. He felt sorry after this because when he saw human beings are building the tower, he felt very sorry that I created these human beings. This exact words that is there. So it's the asma and the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that will define that no, these things are not possible for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. Why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have to feel sorry? And then this leads us to another thing, that is to the ilm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which will, I don't know if I should go into that detail because the time doesn't allow us, but at least I will just point out one thing about it, and that is what we call qadr. Confuses a lot of people that what is this qadr? If everything is written, then why do I have to worry about what I do? Subhanallah, we misunderstood the knowledge of Allah. That's the only reason we have these doubts. We are not supposed to go into those details because we can never understand the details of the knowledge of Allah. But one thing we can understand, that I will explain in simple words, so that we can understand what is all of this about. When people object to qadr or we are asked about qadr, you can explain, always use this simple example and you will be able to explain it to them very easily. Qadr is the name of the knowledge of Allah. Qadr is the name of the knowledge of Allah. Allah knew about everyone and everything what these people would do. So accordingly Allah wrote it. We don't do it because he wrote it. He wrote it because he knew we would do it. I see a person driving a car coming downhill. He's going 100 miles an hour. I know this car. I have driven this car last night. It doesn't have no brakes in it. And I see there is another car in front of him now. So I tell a person standing next to me, look, he's going to have an accident. And within no time, boom, he had an accident. So this person, that person, he was saved, he came out. So this person next to me, he goes and he tells him, look, do you know why you had an accident? He says, why? It was because he said it. So that person comes and he wants to sue me. I had the accident because you said it. No, you didn't have the accident because you said it, because I said it. I said it because I knew it. Now I'm sure we understand that, but sometime we make a mistake with our knowledge. Allah never makes a mistake. What did he write about us? We don't know. So why do we have to worry about that one? All we know is we believe that yes, he knows. That is what qadr means. We believe in that ilm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. that he has written everything and he knows. But am I forced to do it because he wrote it? No, he wrote it because he knows it. He knew it. And he asked me not to worry about what he has written. This is what he asked me also at the same time. Not to worry about what he has written. He told me that here you have a guideline. Do whatever you can. Do your best. So this is what I'm responsible to do. You write something on a piece of paper. You go for a driving test. Okay? And then the instructor writes something on a piece of paper. He folds the paper. He says, I have written your result in here. Now, go ahead and drive. So you go and you don't stop at the stop sign, don't stop at the red light. Why? I think because you wrote over here that I'm failed. I have failed the test. This is why I'm not stopping at any of these stop signs. Don't worry about what I have written. You drive the way you're supposed to drive. I know how you would drive. This is why I've written it. He may make a mistake. It may be that he turns out to be wrong. But Allah never turns out to be wrong. That's the ilm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, these asma, tawheed and the asma, and the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us his ma'rifah, his understanding of his asma and the sifat. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala connect all of us to him through his names and attributes. So we are always connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the names of Allah, through the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I would encourage really everyone that later on with your a'imma, with your mashayikh, with your scholars, please try to learn these asma and the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Very beautiful. Beautiful asma, beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, beautiful attributes of Allah. And then once we learn about them, really, the beauty of it will be that every time you will know that, okay, at this time, Allah is a Shafi. I'm using that attribute. I'm connecting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as Him being my Shafi, as a Razzaq, and as al Alim, as al Hakim. And this is really my connection with Allah at all times. So it's not only one connection of a Rabb. There is much beyond this. I have a lot of connections with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times. When we learn those, we will realize that. And we will realize the beauty of it. And we will know about رب سبحانه وتعالى أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.